keeping my signs that I ruled the masses by, and saying we're going to throw Caesar out with his inhuman rule. But Brutus, you're a brutal man. Why are you against me? You too, Brutus? Now, when did all this trouble happen?
According to Shakespeare, if I remember correctly, it was on the 15th day. Am I right? Well, 15th day of March, for the Ides of March.
Now, what is 15?
That's 5 gone 3 with 3 steps. 5 took 3 steps out of the sensory body into the reflecting mind, the rational mind. Out of the rational mind into the working, into the inner.
See, things have got to go.
In this world, say, beware of the eyes of Mars. And they say the 15th may occur on some other month too. And it means those times in the middle, in the mind of the people, when their mind is alert. When their mind is alert to what's right and wrong. Don't let them get insight when they're attuned morally. So if they get insight when they're attuned morally, our corrupt civilization is in trouble. They're going to try to overthrow their government. Beware of the eyes of March. All right? What were we told in the days of Jahiliyyah? I'm not talking about Jahiliyyah popular. Proper, I'm talking about Jahiliyyah right here. You know, we were in the Jahiliyyah. I don't know, think you all know, I was in the Jahiliyyah. A lot of my brothers and sisters, friends and relatives, we were in the Jahiliyyah. So what do they tell us in the Jahiliyyah? Say, and there's a mothership, and only the 1,500 bombing planes. And each plane carries 3 bombs. Right? 1,500 bombing planes, each plane carries 3 bombs. Now, what is this talking about? This is war, isn't it?
Yes.
Like the eyes of Mars.
Yes.
March. 1, 2, 3, 4. March. Right? That's March, right? January, February, March. Right? Get on the march, get set, ready, go. see these numbers? Get on the march, get set, ready, go. Who are that guy? That's over. Pop that off, the head out. Be created, then proposal. Empowered, then gave guidance. Get on the march, get set, ready, go. You can't go without guidance. See, when you can tie knowledge in, then you have understanding. Do you think this world has knowledge without the Quran?
No.
If they got knowledge, they got it from the Quran. The Bible kept them in darkness for better than 1,000 years. When the Quran came and the Day of Enlightenment came for Europe and the West. Right? Right. Oh, yes, the Renaissance. All right. 5, 10, 15. Now, look at 15. That's 15. We say 15, that's all. 15. But if I say this in Semitic language, in Arabic, what? Khamsa, Dasha. 5 and 10. Khamsa, Dasha. 5 and 10. So that tells us that 10 was there and 5 came. Right? 10 was there and 5 came. So, 10 consciousness, what comes that? Comes that? 5 and 10. 10 was there, then 5 came and joined it. 5 came what? Insight. See? Insight. Now, it says 1,500 bumming planes. What is 100? 100 is near. It's an allusion to mayor. Means there. There. Mayor. And Allah says what? Move to for Akhiyah. Die that you may live. Right? 100 is mayor. So 1,500 be what? 1,500 times you die. Right? 1,500 deaths. 1,500 bombing planes. 1,500 deaths. That means you got insight, but your insight is interpreted wrongly. Now you got the wrong insight. Insight into something that carries the wrong message. Now here come 1,500 bombing planes. Because the 15 didn't come right. And what are they doing? They're dropping 3 bombs each. What is 3 bombs? The male symbol. 3. What is it indicative of? It's indicative of the human urge in the male more than the female. Not that the female doesn't have this, but it's in the male more than the female to go out and achieve goals. The male is the one who leaves home, leaves the domestic life, the domestic environment, and he goes out into the wilderness to conquer new territories. Right. New horizon, right? That's the male factor. So he is the going out. And going out is 3. How do you get out? To get out, I have to rise above the gravity of my sensory body. I have to rise above the gravity of my rational body. My own reasoning can hold me back.
Right.
I have to rise above my own insight. Because if I fix myself upon my own insight, that will do away with me.
Right.
I'll become arrogant. Too self-dependent. Too self-independent. Where I don't trust other people, I'm just thinking myself is the whole world. Right? So I have to even go beyond my insight. Okay. Khalaqa fa sawwa qaddara. When you get insight, you have power. That's power. But where is the guidance? Is it in science by itself? No. Well, hada. The guidance is in revelation. So when I can see science and then respect revelation and use science as revelation dictate I can use it, respecting what God has revealed, putting my insight below or beneath what God has revealed, then I have guidance. That's the fourth one, right? Get on the march, get set, ready, go. And the only way we can go is with the Quran, with the Huda, how to guide us. Khalaqa fa sawwa qaddara fa hada. Insight is power. Insight is power. Qaddara. Laylatul Qadri. Khayrun min alf shahr. The night of power is better than 1,000 months. Right? Laylatul Qadri. So Qadri is power, insight is power. But if you don't have guidance of God, that power will destroy you. Right? It will destroy you. You will misuse it. You will use it for wrong ends. You will blow your head up. You will be destroyed. Okay, so now there's 3 bombs he dropped. One of them, each bomb equipped with a grill so hard that it can go through any material in the earth. Right? It is time to reach a mile deep and then blow, explode. And when it explodes, it throws up mountain a mile high. All right? So what is this? This is your curiosity. Your curiosity into the mystery. When one has a curiosity to rationalize or find the rational end of the mystery, that's a powerful curiosity. No curiosity is stronger than the curiosity to know the end behind the mystery.
to see the other side, to see what's behind the mystery. Therefore, that curiosity can break every barrier. It goes down in its metal. Metal means something that you have to meet, something that's intended to bring about a meeting. Metal. You see? So anything that you meet in your search or in your movement breaks it up. Because you have something that you want to meet too. And that is, you want to see behind the veil of mystery. So it breaks up all the material. Right?
That's right.
Till it gets down a mile deep. What is a mile? Well, think about mile is a measure of space, a time, a motion, right? But I say that's a mile word. That's a mile burden. So it's time to go a mile deep. Go until you release. Until the curiosity has found relief. Until it's mile struggle. It's not hard anymore. And then it blows a mountain up a mile high. It gives you a mile structure. Not a hard one, just a mile structure. Right? But look what happens behind it, because you're working with your own insight. Look what happens behind it. And he said, get busy, all of you students, and solve this problem. Right? He didn't tell you how to do it either. Just do it on your own. Okay. Now, what happens next? So it is time, the bomb time, after the explosion, then comes a gas release. It's going to release gas. And the gas is going to be a poison gas. What is the poison gas symbolic of? The poison materialistic spirit. The poison arrogance. The poison academic arrogance. Now you think you're heavy. You done got all this deep science. You done penetrated the earth, the heart of the earth, through a mountain up a mile high. A mountain of your intellectual ingenuity. And you think you are tough now. Yeah, you Dr. Shabbat. You heavy. The poison gas now. Got you under poison gas. Your whole system, your human system is poison. You sniffing gas. And if that ain't enough, all that don't get destroyed by the poison gas, say he's going to cut a shortage in the gravity and sip the atmosphere hot. Well, here come the 60s and materialism. They cut a shortage in the gravity and brought all those holy people down to materialism and sip the whole atmosphere hot. Are you following me? Are you following me? You following what I'm saying? Yeah. Set the atmosphere fire. What is the atmosphere? What you have to breathe. That's what you have to breathe. And breathing is a function that's more regular than eating and drinking. You have to breathe more regularly than you have to eat and drink. Breathing is a regular activity, like the heartbeat. It has to go on. You can't stop it for too long. That means your spiritual makeup, your attitude, your inclination, your sensitivity, your response to influences, and influences affecting you. This is affecting you spiritually. No, it comes through your body too, but we speak of these things as spiritual in our makeup, right? The influences, etc. Well, that's poison. How come it's poison? Because you have given yourself to materialism. Come and follow me, we were told. Give you plenty of money. Good home. They got homes over there made for you. Castles. Gold. Streets paved with gold. Then you're going to get plenty of money. So that was conditioned to make you materialistic in time. Once you leave the moral obedience, the fear of God, And come under the influence of the shortage in gravity, then you're going to give yourself to the gravity of materialism too. And become materialistic. Didn't we see these things come over our past life? Yes. Yes, we did. It started off with what? Something above our head. What was that? The understanding into the lesson. The lessons were above our head. 40 miles up. Right? 40 miles up. You don't have time to go into all of this. It's John Lamin said. It just means before your out of the reach of your conscience. You can only get it by intuitive or instinctive perception. Outside of your conscious grasp. 40 miles up. So, above our heads, the lesson was above our heads, and finally, the curiosity in us came down with our 15 on the march too, right? And he let us know he meant that this was aggression, march, because he taught us what? Military drill. You came to join a religion, but you had to learn also attention, at ease, attention. Forward, half step, march, cut, two, three, four, cut, two, three, four. You know, we used to all do that, right? Right flank, left flank, rear, march, right? That mean I'm going to turn you every way but loose? And then, now, with our curiosity, we were like that 15, the mind wanting to reach the object. You wanted to find the object. See, objectivity means finding what? Object. And it's an expression of what? Scientific method. Scientific method. See? Not just reflect on it, but you want to know what object. If I ask, I want to know the object of that. I want to know the purpose of that. Right? So you see, object is associated also with purpose. And purpose is what? Insight. When I know the purpose of something, I know the I have the insight. If I know the purpose of the heart and its function in my body, then I have insight on the working of the heart, right? But if I only know it's beating, feeling that, but I don't know the purpose, the function inside within the body, I don't have insight into the workings of the heart. Right? Okay. All right. So 15 with our individual plane has to go on air, right? Plane goes on air. That means you don't know, you're just going on your sense of feel, a spiritual sense of feel. You're going on a spiritual sense of feel for direction, right? And you know where you're supposed to go. At least I'm supposed to go to the earth, because you put your mind on the earth. So you send your curiosity, it's real. We drill people in army. We drill people in school. We give them mathematical drills, right? Okay, so you have three thumbs with drills. And you send the first one down into the earth. You know it. He told you the earth. Everything is earth, you see. Get you some land, it's earth. It's home of the black man. You send your curiosity down to the earth. You're trying to figure out what he means. All this scientific or symbolic language. One goes down and boom. Mountain up a mile high, and right now it's only sensory. Sensory, a sensory environment. Send out another boom. Now it's an academic environment. Send out another boom. Now it's a spiritual environment. Then after a while, poof, the atmosphere is poisoned. The atmosphere is poisoned. And then what happened then? Shortage in gravity. Cut you off from that altogether. You don't care about that anymore. Sister with her long dress out doing tricks on the corner. Shortage in gravity. That ain't pulling her no more. Right? Brother's selling dope. Brother's sticking up banks. Boom squad. Oppressing the people so they can have money coming in from newspaper quotas, etc. Right? Shortage in gravity. Pause in the atmosphere. Then here come Imam Wadi Muhammad. And he starts Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And he starts right into the language. So we have to come up with new terminology. We have to see under the symbol. be deep into the language. And God blessed us to wrestle with the problem of language. And wrestle it and bring it down. Beat it, defeat it. And then come to the Quran and apply the teaching of the Quran to condemn that terminology we were given. You tell me that ain't freedom. For us, that's mental freedom. Spiritual freedom. That's soul freedom for us. Because that's where we were enslaved. We were enslaved in our minds. And Allah blessed us with insight to go and see the wrong and then do away with it. Let's set that noise fast a little bit. See, it's a blessing just to be able to turn away from that and say, I don't accept that idea of Islam or religion. I accept the Quran as it is believed or practiced by Muslims all over this earth. That's freedom. That's a blessing. But look, it's a double blessing when you're able to look back at what contained your mind, at what restricted your intelligence. You look back at it and then see how the master of that used it. See how he conceived it. See how he used it. See how he operated it on us. And then dissolve it. Dissolve it. And say, see the devil, see the beast, throw it away. Listen, now let us write in history for all time that God inspired one of the descendants of the slave to see into the mystery well enough to do away with all of the enchantment and free the people of Bethlehem and bring them to the Sunnah of the Prophet, Allahu Akbar, and bring them to the Sunnah of the Prophet without them having the burden on their mind. What was that all about? We see, we know what that was all about. There was another man praying with high explosives. Another Jacobite trying to play God by experimenting on human mind, human behavioral nature. So we don't have to wonder about what that was all about. God blessed us with insight into it to see what it was all about. How they go about playing God, creating that stage, setting up a stage for the operation of their sciences, playing over the heads of the people, bringing them completely over their under their forces, have them worshiping up them, and worshiping up their image as God. Don't you know we worship Farad in his image as God? And he said God was black, but he wasn't black. He had straight hair and features like white people. An easy replacement. An easy way into the sensitivity, into the faith and confidence of a people who just yesterday had Jesus' faith and Jesus' image, another white image on their back. That's what they teach you in psychology, that if you can establish one image over a person, you can easily bring in that image and introduce another idea through that image. This is psychology. They can take a picture, any picture, and they can make it work on you until you love and have trust in that picture. It can be a picture of an orange or a picture of an ape. It works on you until you have love and attachment and trust in that picture. Then they can suggest things through that picture that you are not ready to accept. But they will bypass your defense mechanism because you accept the image that the message is coming through or in by. With the image of Jesus, they quieted the anxiety of many blacks who wanted to tear up the white man, who wanted to rip the white man's neck off his body. But because they saw a white man before them all the time, in the image of the sweet one, that conditioned them to not to be hostile toward any white image. This is psychology. Now, Farad comes in with the same kind of image, and it's easy for us to accept it because we were preconditioned before to accept that kind of image. The proof that was your sensitivity and that was your psychology, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad left and I came to you and didn't point to any white man or any foreign man or no man as my backer, only Allah, you all want to sit down on me.
That's right.
Don't want to follow me, don't want to do what I say. You get up and sell papers on Honorable Elijah Muhammad 5 days, 6 days, 7 days a week. Get out there and work like beavers, work like ants and bees for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Why? Because the man that was his boss looked white. As soon as I came into the leadership and didn't have nobody to point to that backed me that's white, you all didn't want to work behind me. I have to come and work all kind of magic. I have to do all kind of magic. I have to challenge your God and take on your God single hand and beat the hell out of Farad in a contest, knock him out 10 times over and knock him out every day. And you just sit there, you say, hell, he sure can fight. But you still ain't ready to get up and sell the publication and sell my publication. You're still not ready to support AMCOP. You're still not ready to move this community forward for us. Why? Because I don't have a damn white man behind me. And that's the truth. And you know that's the truth. But we're going to overcome. We are overcoming. Now, some of us, I don't think we are from your line. I think some of us are from Timbuktu. We got to weed out the Uncle Tom. Praise be to Allah. I got people in my family, immediate family, children of my mother and my father, Elijah Muhammad and Claire Muhammad, who just can't break the enchantment that Farad put on this people. They still want to save him for the future. They hope that I would die early because of a heart attack or somebody would kill me. They're hoping I would die early so they'll have time to bring in that old mystery again. They'll never do it. My people will kill anybody that does it. Anybody that try to introduce that idea in here again, my people will kill them. So we understand the sense that message had in keeping us weak, inferior, and enslaved. So artificially we were calling ourselves black gods. No, sir. We don't want no Walt Disneyland life. We don't want to be on no stage acting out our superiority, acting out class and dignity. We want to be for real. We want to understand it. We want to be real. Walking around calling ourselves the black god, order the maker, the cream of the planet Earth, father of civilization, the god of the universe. Ain't no god but the black man, always was, always will be. So how old is Islam? Islam has no age. Islam has no birth record. Islam always was and always will be. How old is Christianity? 500 years old. How old is Buddhism? 25,000 years old. Confusing people, confusing ourselves. Walking around in false glory. We don't want that. And we don't think
Mr. Farrar for giving us that. No, we don't thank him for it. We curse him for it. Now, we are Muslims. How can we thank a man who told us that the Bible and Holy Quran are made by men? See, that men get together over every 25,000 years to write the Holy Quran of Bible. That's what he taught us. How can we, if we're true Muslim now, how can we thank a man who taught us something like that? No, we're supposed to see him as the sneaking one who came in to corrupt the idea of Islam so that they knew that in time that religion was going to get to the black man because he was in the process of freeing himself. And in time, he was going to be free to even investigate Islam, investigate the Muslim, international Muslim world, and choose for himself whether you want to be a Muslim or I want to be a Christian or I want to be something else. They knew that time was coming. So the Jacobites planned this Nation of Islam thing, this Temple of Islam thing. They planned it. They thought they worked on us so thoroughly and fascinated us so thoroughly that we would never have any reception for true Islam. But Allah says, he planned, and he is the best of planners.
Praise to Allah.
Now, our time is running out here. I just got a notice. The time is running out. I told them to let me know when 3:30 comes. Because if we don't hear and finish here, I'll miss that plane. But inshallah, we will complete what we have to say. Now, dear beloved people, Allah says in the Quran, in the heavens and in the earth, as well as in yourself, are instructing signs, but most people go on paying them no attention. Their curiosities don't take them there. They're not interested in those matters. But believe me, man is formed in language more than he's formed in any other environment. We need a human contact. We need to contact our mother, what they call tactile communication. We need to be in physical touch with our mother and our relatives, etc. But if we don't get language, we never will evolve to the plane of the free man or free woman. Language environment is most important. Now, Allah said in the Quran that he is the one who did what? علم القرآن. He taught the Quran. خلق الإنسان and created the human person. There is the word coming before the creation of the human person. And we know that it also comes about the other way. Another way too. Says, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. خلق الإنسان من علق. Read in the name of your Lord who did created the human being from an attaching pot, leech-like rock of blood. So we know that we are evolved that way from the physical plane, the social plane, etc. We need that kind of environment, that kind of contact. But we know also that man is evolved how? By language. Because man only goes so long with just grunt and inarticulate speech. He goes so long with that, and then he comes into articulate speech, and thereafter we see the age of enlightenment. Is that not correct? All right. So Allah tells in the Quran the two stages, the two methods, or the two processes by which he evolves man. And the highest one is that one that is brought about with the Word of God. علم القرآن خلق الإنسان. Taught the Quran to create the man. Aren't we a new creation? Aren't we in our feeling, in our sensitivities, in our thinking, in our spirit? If we have changed in all of these aspects of our life, aren't we a new creation? And what is responsible for us being a new creation? It is the influence of the Word of God, the influence of the Quran. Right? All right. Now, what I'm getting at. I'm getting at this. If you can understand the importance of language, then you should be very careful of how you let the language of the world come into your ears and influence your behavior. And you should suspect their language. Are they Muslims? Have they established themselves as people responsible for our moral life? No. They corrupt our moral life. The people who govern this world, they allow influences in the culture to corrupt our lives. So they are not people that we can deem or can judge as being morally responsible for our life. They will allow people to be destroyed wholesale by corrupt cultural influences. So we should suspect their language. Now look at some of the language. They say, you get paid and they give you a pay check. Right? We're about finished. There's a few things I wanted to bring to you today. They give you a pay check. A pay check? What do you mean? They think you will never become curious. And you won't, except it be the will of God. Pay check. A paycheck is something the check pays. And what does check mean? Hold back. Hold back. Prevent progress. Now, you who get the paycheck, isn't it a way of containing you and your creativity, your productive potential? Isn't it a way of containing you as just a slave market they call the labor market? But the man who has the bank book, he writes his check. That ain't no paycheck. That's a bank check. Personal check, etc. Right? So, they bring us from slavery, and they bring us into what they call the modern industrial world. But their language tell me that they have the same slave pattern, the same slave structure for me that they had before, but they have upgraded it. They've sophisticated their slave behavior for containing me. All a paycheck. We don't want no paycheck. We'll take them as long as we have to, but we don't want no paycheck. We want an Islamic community. We want industrious people, business people, industrious people. We want people who have the courage to take the lead in the cultural life of their own community. We want people who take the lead in the economic life of their own community and work hard to make their people less and less dependent on people who give them paychecks. They say, are you on a fixed salary?
Yes. Go ahead.
God didn't create me to have my salary fixed. God says he multiplies rewards. God created me with the ability to get more and more income. How come I have to be on a fixed salary? See, the terminology is the terminology of slave master. The bosses don't have fixed salaries. The industrialist is not on a fixed salary. They don't have paychecks. Who is this for? The masses.
Praise be to Allah.
Isn't that reason enough to suspect this society?
What do you want to do? Go back to them? And continue to be their willing slaves? Or are you going to tell them that We have a new head on our body. And it's speaking with human voice. It's alert, awake, responsive, and responsible. So whether you believe it or not, Mr. Boss Man, we don't need you to contain us anymore. We can contain our own self. If you don't accept this kind of leadership, I'm not saying me, but if you don't accept this kind of leadership, the world, the powerful world, the world of the industrialists, the world of politics, they will never trust you, and they will always keep some deceitful thing going in your life to contain you on the level of a virtual slave without physical shackles or handcuffs or yoke, but you will be a virtual slave. But if you accept my leadership, when you tell them about me, they have to respect me. They know if you come with me, they won't have to worry about you. They have to worry about those who follow the duckies. Yes, the dumbbells. The opportunist.
That's right.
Uncle Tom's.
Right.
The corrupt black.
Right.
They have to worry about you who follow those people. Because they know those people are not responsible. They don't have the wisdom, the insight, the wisdom. They don't have the knowledge to contain a society with the guidance of God or with superior knowledge and make it possible for other societies to feel secure living with them in their midst on their borders. A people without this kind of guidance from a leader with insight, they fear them.
That's right.
Because they don't know what you will do tomorrow. But they know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm going to do what I'm doing today. Just try to do a little bit more of it. But you don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. You change religion like Hollywood changes its mind. Or like Paris changes the dress style, the fashion. Right? Yeah. One day you militant, wearing khakis and boots, and before the weather changed, you wearing a purse and high heel shoes. And you don't know what you all gonna do. I don't blame them for not trusting people like that. I don't trust people like that myself. Everyone in here should pledge allegiance to Imam Wahid Muhammad. You should. You should pledge your allegiance to Imam Wahid Muhammad. Doesn't mean that we don't recognize the flag and we don't support the nation, this nation. We do. But just as all other people who were disunited, who suffered the same situation or same circumstances, just as all other oppressed, unestablished people had to come together on the leadership from among themselves, we have to do that too. But all of us are in the same boat. My brother Jabir Muhammad, used to be called Herbert, he has hundreds of thousands of dollars, but his situation is unstable. His future is uncertain. Why? Because he has nothing but jabber, and a few assets and a bank account. We need more than that. We need a plan. for the whole community. We need collective support, collective backing. We need a vision into the future. And we need an idea that will inspire not only us, but our wives and our children to come. So that we know what we leave behind will be taken up into the future. And we need an idea that will inspire not only us, but our wives and our children to come. So that we know what we leave behind will be taken up by them as fast as we sit down, as fast as we kill over. That's what we need, and that's what this leadership represents. You can't put your trust in rich businessmen. If they're millennials, their life is temporary. Hardly any of them live to see their investments go on into the next generation. They die, it is gone. The government gets it. The state, the probate court gets it. Cooks and fools get it. Incapable children get it. And the business builders pop. The sort of man is hardly cool in his grave. Isn't that the history of our establishment? I can tell out to you, white establishments that are more than 100 years old. Many of them. How many African-American establishments you can talk to that's 100 years old? They don't last. They don't tell me. I know. I've lived here. I'm almost 50 years old. I've lived here, and my mind has been busy looking into and trying to study and conquer this thing we have as a problem for our people. And I'm convinced that the message of Islam, as it is contained in the language of the Quran, is the divine answer for us. This religion coming to America has no greater destiny than to fulfill its promise in the black community. No greater destiny, because the greatest need is not in the Irish community. The greatest need is in the African-American community.